Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner that has a product, service, or message that you truly believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look at real-world networking and marketing tactics while leveraging LinkedIn to get what you have in front of many more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another dual episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple and the Entrepreneur Rescue Mission. This is Scott Aaron.
And Nancy Evans-Aaron.
So today, as we promised, we actually kind of dripped on this last week. Last week, we went over the three different or most common business models, which are the agency model, product-based business model, and the coaching and consulting. But we also talked about our brand new book that comes out in 8 days. So next Tuesday, March 26th, our new book called The Feel Good Business Model drops. We're going to be having discounted pricing all that week, 99 cents for the Kindle, $3.99 for the paperback all that week, along with prizes to those who leave an honest rating and review on Amazon, whether it's the Kindle or the paperback. Plus, after you make your purchase, take a screenshot of that and post it on social and tag us for some bonus prizes as well, which we'll be announcing in the private Facebook group that you will be invited to if you sign up for the wait list. There'll be a link to do so in the description of this episode. So this is going to be a juicy episode because we're going to be talking about the behind the scenes of basically, I would say, the concept of where this book came from, where we actually got motivated to then dive into it, because I had already planned on releasing a book later this year in August. The third edition of my LinkedIn book is coming out then. But Nancy and I really, we were having breakfast one day and I said to her, if we don't really sit down and write this book now, we're never going to write it. Because we all, like, again, for those of you that know, we did an episode at the end of last year where we talked about how we always plan out our year ahead of time, our marketing plan in October, November. And March was one of those months that we take off for list building or just to kind of give our email list a break in between workshops and stuff. And I said to Nancy, I'm like, since we're not really promoting anything in March, and this was like the beginning of February, I said, let's write our book. And she said, what do you mean write our book? I said, let's dig in and let's get this book done. Let's release it at the end of March. So just to kind of give you that timeline, that was 7 weeks. 7 weeks from the idea of like, let's write this book to releasing it. Now, just to kind of be even more transparent, we actually had to have the book done by the first week of March because we had to get it to our publisher, book formatter, to make sure that everything was done and ready. And it takes about 2 weeks to make sure everything is good, because not only does it have to be formatted, but we have to get pre-authored copies sent to us so we can go over the book after it's pre-print and then approve and then make sure that it's available on KDB Publishing on the 26th of March. So there was a lot that had to get done. So we're going to kind of dig into the nitty gritty and the behind the scenes, the good, the bad, the ugly, of what it took to get this book done in, no lie, 36 days. Ooh. Yeah, we wrote this book and we wrote this book. Like, literally, we wrote the book.
Yeah, so here's the big thing to note, right? So we didn't just pull this content out of nowhere, right? You know, we actually had, okay, obviously we've done trainings and things that we've been doing for, you know, 8 years plus, okay? So, you know, we have an entire training portal in our mastermind, in our foundations program, things like that, that obviously is part of our foundational framework. So, you know, we had a lot of things like that already in place.
The content was there.
However, right, getting it all together and then also collaboratively working on it together, I learned so many things. I mean, we learned so many things about each other. And, you know, if we are to do this again, you know, definitely we kind of have like a workflow now.
Well, no, we have a system.
We've got a system. Yeah. So that's what we're going to share with you guys a little bit today. But, you know, before we even share that kind of behind the scenes, I do want to share with you guys why we made this book, right? You know, why this is such a passion project and for what, like, why this even came about. So, you know, years ago, whenever I was, you know, still working my, you know, 7 to 5, you know, Monday through Friday job, and I was really just burnt out, overwhelmed, stressed, and frustrated, I read the book, The 4-Hour Workweek. Okay. For anyone who knows me, you know, that book, it was just a pivotal thing in my life because it talked about, why are you living to work? You know, why aren't you enjoying life? Why aren't you doing something that gives you more time, freedom, and flexibility? And so I just, after reading that book, I just knew something had to change.
Oh, and funny enough, we just read that book in our mastermind.
Yeah, we did for our book club. But anyway, yeah, it's actually right here too. One of my faves. But anyway, so the whole thing is I really went down this, you know, journey of, okay, well, how can I build a business, or how can I now have a job or whatever it was, right, that gave me a better, you know, feeling, right? You know, made me feel more, you know, passionate about what I did, fulfilled, you know, really good about it, because I knew that I wasn't working every single day, all these crazy hours and burning myself out. So I really went down that mission. And then whenever Scott and I met, you know, I had actually already quit that job and I had started my own business, right? You know, which was my cleaning business. So it was a local service-based business, started it from the ground up. But that was almost like a game, right? You know, building that business and really figuring out, you know, all the different pieces. But ultimately, at the end of the day, one thing that we always said was, we've got to build a business that makes us feel good, right? It's that business that we're not working 24/7. I know a couple times we had a couple, I will say, like flare-ups, I guess, in our business where, you know, we were working crazy hours. And I remember, right, I burnt myself out a couple times. And I remember, you know, kind of throwing a little bit of a fit and saying, we cannot continue this way, right? We've got to put some framework. We got to put some structure. We got to have start and end times for our business, you know, and we started to kind of structure our businesses that way. And so it kind of overflowed into the different types of businesses that we built. And we used to call it, do you remember what we called it?
The
type of business, the small,
small and mighty business,
small and mighty,
right?
You know, so the book almost was called Small and Mighty, but we did a little survey. And after doing some research,
feel,
you know, the
good,
feel good business model, right? That feels pretty awesome too, because you can build this business as big or as small as you want, right? The feel good part. And part of that is the structure and the framework and the foundations and the fact that you get to design your own schedule and what that looks like.
And coincidentally, even though Nancy and I came from two different business backgrounds, her being, you know, in, you know, the high stress, high level corporate environment, and myself running a brick and mortar business, we still, even though I was my own boss, but more or less she was her own boss too, managing people, we both worked really, really long hours. I would work from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday. I would work 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Fridays. And I would work around 7 to 2 or 7 to 3 on Saturdays. And Sunday was my only day off. So I was working close to 70 to 75 hours a week. Now, that was in the fitness industry, and that was on top of everything else. But if I wasn't working, I wasn't earning. And it felt good to make money, but what didn't feel good is the fact that I had to trade my time for dollars. Now, after Nancy and I linked up and started growing our business together, I still had to break the old habits and patterns of what I was doing, because basically I was so dead set on selling as much coaching as possible because that's how I knew how to make money. If I sold a coaching package, if I sold a personal training package, people would pay me for that. And then I would deliver on that aspect of the business, much like when I started doing my LinkedIn coaching and consulting. But the thing is, that's not scalable because I wasn't able to make more of me. It was just me doing all the work. So I ended up burning myself out again. And Nancy will tell you, you know, I was still working long hours, even though it wasn't as long as before. I go back and I look at my old schedule and my paper planner when I was all in with my coaching, when Nancy and I first started. You know, I remember I would have clients in other parts of the world. I was getting up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, hopping on a Zoom and training them and then going back to bed for a couple hours. I was doing sessions at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. I was doing sessions over the weekend. I had no boundaries and it really started to get to me. And it wasn't, honestly, where this all culminated, and I shared this story in the book, and I'll share it with you guys now. The pandemic shifted everything for us. Now, we were already running a successful online business at the time, but what the pandemic did for us was it allowed us to reevaluate what we were doing. And I think the other thing that really impacted us in a positive way was the remote learning that a lot of parents and households had to do, including us. Wednesdays and Fridays were remote learning days with Taylor. And Nancy, God bless her, she would take the reins as far as those days where, when I was helping Taylor. But when things started to open back up, I remember Nancy and I sitting down and having breakfast, because we had rearranged our schedule so much at that point where we were so streamlined on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. I said to her, I said, what if we just kind of stuck with this? What if we just stuck to this 3-day-a-week model and used Wednesdays and Fridays for day off / CEO / flex days? And that's where the concept really came into place. And we're not telling you that we're waiting for the next pandemic for you guys to streamline your business the way that we did, but we actually sat down and we mapped out exactly how we did it without a pandemic being involved. Like, what would it actually take for someone to adopt the feel good business model where remote learning was not an issue, where a pandemic was not an issue? We realized that what we created was duplicatable, and it could be embedded into anyone's business that was ready to adopt our principle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, again, like, I think during the pandemic, a lot of things happened. You know, I still had my cleaning business, my local service business, and I'm so thankful. Sometimes things happen for a reason. It was almost like, you know, kind of thrown out of the nest a little bit, where I kind of shut that down. I moved that aside, and I really, right, focused on all the other things that we were doing. And so again, I really focused on tightening up the screws and making sure the systems were in place and really fine tuning, you know, all the different processes so that we could run a business. And it felt good because honestly, we knew our stuff and it was easy to run. So that's what really inspired us to write this book, because we want that for other people. You know, in fact, one of my favorite quotes, it's right behind Scott there, is, you know, go confidently in the direction of your dreams, live the life you imagined. I feel that every single one of us, you know, if you are an entrepreneur, right, not everyone is, okay, sometimes people are better, you know, working for other people, and that's absolutely fine. I hope you choose a job that does give you freedom and flexibility, you know, whether it's remote work or, you know, it's being able to have flexibility in your schedule. But I want everyone who wants to design and create their own business and kind of forge their own path, I want them to have some structure to this, right? I want them to feel that they're not just going to throw spaghetti at a wall, because, you know, both of us, when we were starting to grow our businesses, no one was really teaching the what. They were just saying, oh, here's how you do. Or no, I'm sorry, they were teaching the what. Like, yeah, here's what you need to do,
but not how to do it.
But no one was really giving the tangible, right, applicable ways to really actually build the darn business, okay? And so that's what we really honed in on. And so we really specialize in helping coaches, consultants, service professionals, right? It could be brokers, insurance brokers, things like that, right? People who work one-on-one with others, because this model really, really works well. And it's nothing new under the sun, right? You know, I think that's like a Mark Twain quote, but it's all business basics, right? You know, so we teach that in the book. We keep things nice and simple. So that's a little bit of our why, right? And why we're so passionate, because again, we want this, what we want for ourselves, we want for everyone. But, you know, I want to share now kind of a little fun behind the scenes of, okay, again, we're husband and wife, right? We work together. And we're real, right? We're not like these super fluffy fake people. Like, you know, we're pretty transparent about how we are. And we are very honest. We know that not everyone, right, could do this, okay? Not everyone could work with their spouse and their significant other. It's hilarious. We always joke because we are so with each other all day, where, you know, most couples, I think they talk about their day like, hey, what did you do? I mean, we are literally at the hip every day. So by the time dinner rolls around, it's like, hey, like, what do we talk about? But anyway, so let's share a little bit of, you know, kind of what this looked like, how we kind of got started, some realizations that we made. I think that would be kind of fun.
So I would say the easy part was outlining the book. And we had the book outlined within about a day.
See, I disagree. The book has been re-outlined by me probably about 5 times.
I would say that the core elements of what we were going to talk about in the book were easy to to put pen to paper. But as far as the structure of it, you redid multiple times. And full transparency, right before we sent the final draft off to our publisher and book formatter, I actually added an additional chapter because I was reading through one of the last chapters and I talked about a lot in this one chapter. And I'm like, you know what? I think this needs its own chapter. And I shifted things around. So what I'll say is that it wasn't for the faint of heart, but you will definitely see in this book that there are two significantly different brains writing this book.
We've learned so much, like even more so, I think about how we work.
Nancy is the analytical one and detailed one. I am the storyteller and inspirational source. So the way that we tried to tackle this book, and I think this was really brilliant of Nancy, the way that she, and it just so happened that it was structured this way and how she outlined it, is that the front half of the book were more of the tactful things that you need to do, the systems that need to be in place, the nuances, the core elements, such as lead magnets, sales funnel, website, you know, email marketing, all those things, which I couldn't talk about, but they were better spoken and written by Nancy, who could break down those things in sequential form, cite examples, give templates, resources, and ways and workspaces in the book, which is great because you're actually going to be able to write in the book, which is like we're very excited about because you can do practical application. The back half of the book transitioned into, okay, now that you have the framework in place, you know, what are some of the things that are going to populate, right? The financial aspects of it, which I love talking about finances and I love talking about the structure of that of your business. The mindset part of what needs to be done and all of those core elements, what it actually takes to be an expert in your space. You know, what's the difference between an amateur and a professional, right? Why should someone write a book or start a podcast? So all of those things, not that Nancy couldn't talk about them, but she knew those were more in my wheelhouse. And let me tell you, they were, because I was able to really sit down and get those 6 or 7 chapters done, not very easily. It was every waking moment I had, I would jump back in and we shared a Google document, which made it very easy. And she gave me some great prompts of what I should go off of. But as you read through this book, you'll definitely see where I start to jump in and write from my perspective, because I like to paint pictures. I like to share stories. I like to inspire. I like to motivate. But what I'll tell you is it flowed seamlessly. Now, outside looking in, like when you read this book, you're like, man, this is just like so streamlined. In reality, this was an awesome realization for myself and Nancy to realize that we knew we were different in how we think about things, how we apply things, how we learn things, but it's never been more clear how different our brains work than it was writing this book. Because, you know, I would see some of the things that she would write. And it not that it didn't speak to me, it's just my brain, like when I look at her stuff, it's like looking at a map that's written in a different language. I don't understand it, because I would, in the sense that I would never sit down and create tables and templates and all that stuff. Nancy's just brilliant at that. Me, I just love just whatever's on my head and on my heart. I just love spitting it out and getting pen to paper. But it really worked well. And I realized that I had to kind of stay in my lane and focus on my chapters and let Nancy kind of do her thing. And we did cross hairs at a couple points during writing the book, but it was a good learning lesson that we now know even better how well we work in some areas and how well we don't work in others.
Yeah. So can I talk now? So anyway, obviously we've spent so much time together and we always joke. I mean, guys, we absolutely love working with each other, but, you know, to Scott's point again, like it really, really, everything bubbled up and, you know, out of the woodwork as far as just how differently we think. And, you know, again, I am short, sweet, to the point. I want tangible action. Scott, as you can see, I'm kind of like, oh my God. So like, you know, sometimes like shut those lips, you know, but again, that's why it's like we're yin and yang, right? I'm so engineering, you know, kind of brain. I like taking complex things and breaking them down. And, you know, the goal is to make them simple. So I hope you guys feel that way.
I'm like a virtual Bob Ross. I like to paint. I like to paint pretty pictures.
And it's so wonderful. And I'm sure we did our Enneagram a while ago, and we need to do them again. I think, you know, I think I came out a 7. But I'm telling you, man, you know, again, you have such a gift with, you know, really telling the story. I think I have more of a gift of just, all right, here's what needs to be done. Here's the structure. Here's the framework. So anyway, you guys are going to see that in this book. Now, some feedback for everyone, right? Because, you know, obviously we have technology. We got excited because we're like, oh my gosh, like this, we're writing a book now, which whenever I wrote my book last year, right, I didn't even have ChatGPT. I didn't have AI. So I had written that book really, I mean, again, that book took me a long time and that was a huge project, but we actually thought, oh my gosh, it's going to streamline things so much quicker because now we have AI and now we can actually have AI help us with some things. Well, we learned 2 things. Okay. Yes. Did it help us with some things? Sure. But then I also learned a couple things. And so again, we wanted to give you a transparent behind the scenes about this as well. So like Scott said, you know, originally he said it was so easy to map out the book. Well, we did have ChatGPT help us out, right? We kind of gave it input on what the book was going to cover, what it was all about. And then, you know, it came up with a suggested table of contents. But just showing you guys, obviously, if you're watching the video, you know, I went back and adjusted and updated the table contents probably a million times. Just because, again, we wanted to make sure that we covered our framework in the right way. And then 2, we taught what we knew, right? These are things that we have experienced and we've been through. And I wanted to take people through a journey that made sense. Okay. So that thing got reworked multiple times. Was it helpful? Yes, in bits and pieces. Now, the other thing that we attempted was, so Scott actually jumped in and started going through each of the chapters and coming up with some bullet points, right, for each one to kind of guide us as far as what we were going to be writing. And then Scott, do you remember what happened whenever I sat down to write my chapters? I deleted everything. So all, you know, again, anything that chat gave me or ChatGPT outputted, I actually went in, it was like chapter 2, and I just said, done. Like I literally copied everything and I deleted it. I like moved it aside and I said, I've got to just hone in. So again, it's teaching what we know, right? You shouldn't be writing a book. You shouldn't be coaching and consulting on things that you don't know about. This book is us, right? It's things that we've been through. It's lessons, right? So if we're to follow something so structured and not us, and again, we want to be very authentic and real and transparent with you guys, it's going to look like this, right? So go ahead.
Well, what I will say is that we still used ChatGPT for some tips. So just to give you an example, when I was writing my chapters, I was just asking for some bullet points because Nancy knows that if I have 3 key bullet points to go off of from a visual standpoint, I can do a 60-minute training like that because I can not ad lib, but I can build structure around that. The same thing was for this book. So I would ask ChatGPT for 3 key points and 3 key solutions that, and again, if they weren't right, I wouldn't use them. But if they were, then I would go off of them and bring my own voice and my own words to it. So it helped me kind of stay streamlined because as Nancy said, I can go off on tangents. and the further I go off the reservation, the less things make sense.
Yeah.
So for the way that my brain works, I need a format of bullet points to go off of. And I list those bullet points and then it helps me frame out exactly what the chapter is going to be. And then it takes me little to no time to do it from there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nancy actually, you know, she was reading portions of my chapters and she said that she was quite impressed. I mean, not that she was surprised by that.
He was like, did I do good? like, yeah. yeah.
But it was also very, I find myself when I get into the writing mode, it becomes very cathartic because I get so honed in and, you know, we spent a lot of time and, you know, we dedicated an entire weekend to finishing this book and
everything
between the 2 days that we worked on it, we probably spent about 12 or 13 hours. And not everyone can do that. We know that people have different circumstances and things, but what I can tell you is that it was a great learning lesson. ChatGPT was definitely our friend and my friend to help me kind of streamline my process of writing my chapters. And again, you need to use AI and all the tech that's out there to your advantage.
Yeah. And so I want to share with you a couple other tools. And, you know, really quickly, one thing like right at the gate that, you know, we kind of realized is, you know, when we sat down to actually write the book, right, we, you know, Scott had his laptop, I had my laptop. And I thought, you know, at first when we sat down, we're like, oh, we can just like, you know, maybe leapfrog or do every other, you know. So little tip for people who are co-writing a book, that does not work for everyone.
She sent me downstairs to my office very quickly.
I literally was like, we can't do this, right? So I think like actually just mapping everything out and knowing what our chapters were and then divide and conquer, right? Yes. You know, and actually saying, all right, you're going to hone in on this. I'm going to hone in on this, you know, and then let's meet and we'll kind of touch
base. Put your phones on silent, uninterrupted time.
Yeah. Because again, when we're sitting next to each other, again, like we just can't focus and squirrel brain and it just gets unproductive. Yes. So we learned that right at the gate. Now, the couple tools, like I mentioned, because again, I didn't really use ChatGPT a ton, but there were tools that I learned about, right? You know, especially, right, you know, from other authors and some different people who are writers, right? You know, that recommends, because we don't want to use AI to write for us, right? We want to actually help use it as like a productivity tool and a way to kind of remove writer's block and help to brainstorm. Scott, I know you want to.
Yeah, really quickly, just to let everybody know, for those that didn't know this, you cannot write a book using ChatGPT and get it published because.
Well, you run the risk.
You run the risk because a lot, you know, you just run the risk.
Yeah. So that's what I wanted to get into. You know, the couple different tools, right, you know, that were really big is, you know, one, and I had these opened probably all times while I was working the book. So a couple different tools. One, Google Docs. Mm. Okay. Had Google Docs open. That's where we were writing out the book. We could work collaboratively,
and
writing
we were messaging
on the same
each
document you were writing. Like, what are you, you know, hey, I see you, you know. So anyway, so Google Docs is really big, right? It's a great, you know, obviously would I collaborate there. The second thing that I had open kind of at all times was an AI tool called Perplexity.ai. Okay, so Perplexity is kind of like a combination of ChatGPT and Google. And the reason why I was using that is Perplexity allows you to actually search and it comes up with the articles and sites and everything for you. So for example, if I typed in, you know, what are the top business models, you know, in whatever, it brings up articles that are relevant to my topic. So if I want to say, hey, I want to cite this specific thing, everything's right there in front of me. Again, I can use it as a resource to quickly grab information needed for the book. Okay, so Perplexity is huge. Google Docs was huge. The next tool that I used, I tried out, I honestly don't recommend, but you're going to hear a lot of like authors and writers saying it, was called Quillbot. It's a paraphrasing tool. So for example, I would grab stuff from my book and I wanted to kind of rewrite it a little simpler or different. And basically you can take paragraph and paragraph at a time and it kind of rewrites it. I didn't really love it.
I didn't use it at all.
Yeah. Scott didn't use it at all, but I tested it out. I'm not really a big fan. Okay. I also use,
and we'll mention all these in the description. So you'll see all the different ones that we use. So you can check them out.
Absolutely. So one that I really liked using, in fact, I upgraded to the pro version and I highly recommend for any writers, or even for copywriting, for content, things like that, is called Claude, Claude.ai. And Claude is actually, a program that really helps you write more human-like. And for me, it really helped me be a little bit more succinct in my writing. So for example, I might write a whole entire paragraph about why it's important to have a sales funnel, blah, blah, blah. And then I look at it and I'm like, okay, I'm in it. I'm living it. I'm breathing it. I just want to make sure everyone else who's on the outside is able to really grasp these concepts more simply. So I would go into Claude, just kind of showing you a use case. And I would highlight that paragraph. And I would say, please rewrite my words, right? A little simpler so that it's easy to understand. My words, my content, and it would just literally structure it a little bit nicer. And oh man, I'm telling you, the output was just beautiful. So Claude was a really big help, helping me kind of fine tune again and simplify my message. The other tool that I love is actually called it's called originality.ai. So that was a big one. In fact, that's why we stopped using ChatGPT right out of the gate, is because we read, right? And I read a whole article about how Amazon KDP and some of the different publishers, if you are thinking you can write a whole entire book just using ChatGPT, well, you're wrong, right? Because they actually have created different algorithms, different systems to detect purely AI. Yeah. So they have an analyzer. So you run the risk of actually not only being kicked off of the platform, meaning you can't post or write books. Your book obviously gets removed, but you know, again, it's not a good way to go, right? If you're going to write something, write it. Okay. So of course, it doesn't apply if you're using just a little bit of AI. So again, I wanted to make sure that I was using it just enough, you know, with Claude and, you know, with some of the different things that I was using, that everything came out really nice. So I would go through each chapter. And what it does, and it's really neat, is you can copy the entire chapter, throw it into, you know, originality.ai, and it'll say 100% original, or it'll say like, you know, 20% AI.
What's the score that people are looking for?
Yeah. So people are looking for at least, I know this sounds like kind of like a lot, but it says you want to have at least or no more, I'm sorry, than 40% AI. Now, of course, most of ours was 100% right. Or,
so
you know,
60% original, 40% AI.
Correct. And here's the thing, especially when you're writing nonfiction, things like that and tools like that will often think that it's AI because it's so formatted and structured.
Well,
like about, Scott even wrote a chapter from scratch.
I wrote my whole story.
I think he's been using ChatGPT so much, he's been using the verbiage or something, but there's some AI.
I wrote my whole story and it came back AI. I'm like, I literally sat down.
I know,
and
yeah.
I wrote my story.
Well, and it's not an exact science, but again, it was a great tool to use because again, we wanted to make sure, again, we're writing this with integrity, we're not using, you know, AI, you know, too much, and that we're not going to flag. Now, two other tools, and then of course we're going to wrap it up. One was Grammarly. So I do have the paid version of Grammarly. I would literally take an entire chapter and I'll throw it into Grammarly. Now, keep in mind, okay, even with the originality tool, it does say that if you use Grammarly, okay, because Grammarly does, you know, offer certain suggestions, it will kind of flag. Again, you can use Grammarly, right, to help you with some pronunciation, with some fixing punctuation, different things like that. Absolutely, right. I recommend it all day long. I used it with my book. It's just helpful. It's not perfect, but it's helpful, and it actually gives you a scoring and a rating of your content. And it even has a plagiarism checker, guys. So again, you might be sharing something about, you know, an article that you wrote, or you might be, you know, maybe writing something and you can't remember exactly where you found it. Well, again, scanning for plagiarism is great because it'll say, hey, this is actually 30% of this is from this article. So then again, if you need to cite things, you can. And then number two, obviously you can remove stuff if it's coming up like that. Now, the last one that I absolutely love is called EasyBib. So easybib.com, it allows you to cite your work right there in like 2 seconds, okay? Whether it be a website, like an article, whether it be a book, anything of that nature. So we actually cited more things than we needed to in the book because I just think it's important, right? Well, not only
give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, I want to give credit, but also like if you guys want to go on a deeper dive or like, you know, let's say I talked about a really cool YouTube video. Well, I want you guys to know where you can find it so that you can check it out as well. So you'll see, you know, I did hyper, you know, like a superscript with little, you know, numbers. And in the back of the book, we have a notes section where you guys can, you know, obviously dig a little bit deeper into some of these topics, but EasyBib made it really easy to go through and help out with citing. So those are just a few tools that I used. And like I said, guys, I was like in the Google Doc, I had my tools pulled up and I was just working and finessing each chapter as it moved along.
So again, we just wanted to share a little bit of behind the scenes of how we got this done. And, you know, in our expert authority program, we actually do teach this methodology where people can write and self-publish their own books the way that we have. And now collaboratively our first, but in between the two of us and including this new book that's coming out next Tuesday, 7 books under our belt. So we got something good going. So just as a reminder, next Tuesday, March 26th, our book drops. It's called The Feel Good Business Model. There is a wait list that you guys can sign up right now. It'll be in the description so you can get the early bird pricing all that week, which is 99 cents for the Kindle and $3.99 for the paperback. There's also going to be some great prizes and giveaways for those that actually purchase it. Take a screenshot of it. Of your purchase, tag us on social and leave an honest rating and review. So don't wait. Get on that wait list. We cannot wait for you to have this book in your hands. So we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Love and gratitude, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If you could, please support this podcast by hopping over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place that you're listening to this. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you loved most and what you would like to hear more of. But also, if you would like to learn how to take your business to the next level, whether it's using LinkedIn or working directly with myself and Nancy in our intimate group coaching programs, you can head over to www.thetimetogrow.com or scottaron.net to learn more. Thank you again for your support. Love and gratitude, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.